today what I want to talk to us about is the fact that each one of us, we have value, you have importance, you are needed. You are needed in the work of the kingdom. I want you to hear this. There's not one of you here today that God does not want to use in the work of the kingdom, in the harvest. And so we are here to discover, you know, our true identity in Christ and the mission that God has given us on the earth. Our number one priority is not to make a living here, but to seek the kingdom, to seek God first. And that's our number one priority, is to advance God's kingdom in the earth. Amen? If that is not first place in your life, you're going to miss, okay, what God wants to do in and through you. We have been saved to serve. Every one of us here has been saved to serve the Lord. It's not just the pastor's job to serve the Lord. Amen. And we don't come here to be served, but we receive so that we can serve others. Every one of us is a servant. And it's not something that I have to do or that God tells me I have to do. It's something that I get to do. It's a privilege. It's a joy. Now, the title of today's message is Giving Back to the Giver. Giving back to the giver. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one out of 10 returned to the Lord to give glory to him for his healing. You know, the same thing is true today, that if we're not careful, we will forget to give God glory for everything he does in our lives. There are people who get miracles, get healings, even here, that don't give God the glory for it. It's not about geographical location. It's about God being glorified. Are you with me? Wherever you are, whatever you do in your life, God blesses you. He blesses, and do you know he doesn't just bless Christians? He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God is good to all. But God is good to all in hopes that they will look beyond the blessing to the giver of the blessing. And once we have received the blessing of God, to give back to God what we receive. We give God praise, amen? We give him glory. We give him honor because he's praised you. He has honored you. He's given you his glory. He's given you his spirit. So you would return back to him what you receive. And the way that we often give back to God is in giving to one another. When we give to man, people who we see, we're giving to the God who we don't see. So if you and you have received a gift from God, or maybe several gifts from God, or a truth or a revelation, it's not just for you. How many discovered that already? And if you want it to be yours, find somebody else to give it to. Give it back to God. If you don't give it back to God, you can lose it. Whatever you give back to God, you won't lose. So we are to give back to the giver. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." How many know that Jesus is talking about finances, but not just finances? Sometimes that's been reduced just to financial giving, folks. What Jesus is saying is give of what you have been given, and it will be given back to you. You don't lose what you give God. The same thing is with truth. When you share truth, when you give truth away that you have received, you never lose it. I'm trying to encourage you to step out of your comfort bubble and start applying the truth of the word. Because when you start applying, when you start doing the word rather than just hearing it only, you start to see results in your life. You start to see things change. Not only will things in your atmosphere and your environment change, but you will change. Amen. He will change relationships. Restore marriages. God is saying, I want you to give your life back to me. And as long as you're holding on to it, you're in jeopardy of losing it. You're not really living unless you're living for God. You're not really going to enjoy life until you're giving your life away. Even the people that don't know Jesus, many of them realize that there's something good and right about giving, about doing good for others. And so God, I've said this before, but God is a lover. God is a lover. And because God is a lover, God is a giver. How many discovered that giving and loving go together? When you love somebody, you want to do well for them. Amen. You do want to do what pleases them. You want to do what's good for them. Even sometimes chastisement is a form of love too. You love your children enough that I don't like to do this, but they're being a knucklehead and unless I discipline them, they're just going to get worse. And so love is also discipline. Our Father loves us enough to discipline us and to allow situations that often we brought upon ourselves anyways to have their course so that we will come to our senses and realize that, you know what, God's smarter than we are. He's got a better way. Everything you and I have has been gifted to us. These bodies belong to God. Did you know that? We say my body, but it's really his body. We belong to him. We've been purchased. Did you know he purchased the entire you at the cross? Amen. So everything I have, everything I am is actually his property. It belongs to him. And so God will not force himself, though, upon us, and therefore he does require that we will trust him with what we have and who we are to give back into his hands what he's given to us in the first place. He's given life to us, so we give our life to God. Amen. Has he made provision? So we give our provision back to God. Has he given you children? You give your children back to God. Has he given you a husband and a wife? Give them to God too. They're first of all his property. Amen? Amen. And whatever you give to God, how many know that God is big enough to protect it and to take care of it? How many know that God doesn't want you stressing out about your unsaved loved ones? He wants you to release them and give them to God. Are they your children? Yes, they are, but you've also been given a stewardship. There's joint ownership here. And God is saying, give me your children. Give them to me. Don't worry. Learn of me. Learn how to mentor. Learn how to be a parent, but give your children back to me. Because I can take care of them, but I will never force myself on you. It's by choice, you see. Aren't you glad we have free choice? I really like having free choice. Because there's freedom in choice. But we need to have responsible freedom. Now, God is a lover, therefore He's a giver, but God is also a multiplier. God is a multiplier. Even God told mankind to do what? Multiply, right? Go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. I think we've been pretty good at that. There's a lot of people. I think we like reproducing, you think? There's something enjoyable about that. But God made it that way. He's a multiplier. You know, I said to a girl the other day, she was one of the waitresses at Denny's, I said, you know, God is an adder and a multiplier. She says, well, what about death? Well, you see, even when there's a subtraction, it always ends up in multiplication. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So God is a multiplier. What He wants to do is, I want you to hear this, is He wants to multiply you even. He wants to make you such a blessing that you'll influence thousands. You'll influence many people. Yeah. Every one of you here is an influencer. You are a world changer. You can change your world because the God of glory is in you. But you've got to let Him come out. He won't force Himself. But when you agree with the Spirit of God to speak the word that He gives you to speak, there'll be life in it. When you agree with the Spirit of God to pray for the person He tells you to pray for, there'll be life in that. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. So God wants to multiply. Now, we know that Jesus blessed, right, and multiplied the fishes and the loaves. Remember the little boy that had the lunch, if you will, or the sack lunch? And it didn't seem like a whole lot. What was it, 2 fishes and 5 loaves? For a multitude to feed. But what had to happen is what? He had to take that which he had been given in the first place by God and give back to the giver to put it in his hands and say, God, it's yours. It was yours anyways. If you want it, here it is, Jesus. So Jesus, what did he do? He took what he had. He first blessed it. Amen? He broke it. And then he told his disciples to go and distribute. And they had 12 baskets full out of a little sack lunch. How many know God is a multiplier? Now, it would have never happened if he had tried to operate within his reason, because reason says that's impossible. That can't happen. But see, God is bigger and higher than our reason. And we need to trust him that if he says, give me that which is in your hand, that he can take care of that. And the safest place to give is to God. People are playing the stock market. People are playing the slots. And I don't encourage that, by the way. I don't think God approves of that either. But people are gambling, if you will. They're taking the risk to invest in the stock market. Now, that's a matter of your conscience, okay? I'm not here to tell you you can't invest in the stock market. What I'm trying to say is the safest place to invest is in the kingdom, is to give to God. Now, sometimes when you start to talk about these things, people say, oh boy, here we go. Here's the give me the money thing. No, that's not what this is. We're not going to have an offering today. We already had it. But the message came after that, because I want you to understand something, that God really wants to bless you. But unless you're willing to let go and trust Him with what He tells you to do, you're not going to see it. Because you're really never taking a risk by trusting God. We say that, well, take a risk and trust God. You know what? That's actually not accurate. You're not actually taking a risk. It's safe to obey God. But God's going to tell you to do something that is beyond what you would naturally believe that is possible. But with God, all things are possible. So this boy with the fishes and the loaves, you know, that's, by the way, that's Matthew 14, verse 15 through 21. This boy with the fishes and the loaves had the option. It was in his hand to say, nope, ain't giving up my lunch. But how many know that boy got the biggest blessing of all? Now, we know in Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man that climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, you know. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I'm coming to your house today. Zacchaeus, being a tax collector and despised by the people, and often they were ripping people off, and they usually had a lot of money by corrupt means. And so Jesus saw the faith of this little man that he ran to see Jesus. Amen. He climbed up in a tree. He wanted to get a look at Jesus. Jesus, that got his attention, you know, that he had a diligent heart. He was seeking out the Lord. And Jesus stopped. And he called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a conversion experience that produced a heart that was the opposite of what he'd previously been operating under. Previously, he was covetous. Previously, he was greedy. Previously, he was just living for himself. But something happened when he encountered the love of Jesus and melted his heart. And now Zacchaeus is saying, Lord, If I've stolen from any, and not if, but he had, but if I've stolen from anybody, he said in Luke 19:8, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, I preached on this a few weeks ago, but you know what? Zacchaeus just didn't give what was equal to what he had taken. Under the law, they were to give back at least an equal amount in the trespass offering, plus one-fifth additional if it was stolen. But also, they were to restore double under the law for anything that was taken by theft. So what does Zacchaeus say? He didn't say, Lord, I'm going to do exactly what the law says. He said, no, something had shifted in his heart. And Zacchaeus says, Lord, I'm going to give back fourfold. More than double. Amen? Something had taken place in his heart. Do you know that when the love of God is in our hearts, because God is a lover, and because the lover is in us, that will make us a lover too, right? Amen. And lovers are givers. If we don't have a giving heart, we need to check out our heart and say, God, what's wrong with me? Are you with me? You need to get your heart right with God if you don't want to bless or give. Because God is a blesser. God is a giver. And God wants to bless us, folks, but unless we put ourselves into position for the blessing, you won't be able to receive it from. You see, Zacchaeus was actually making restitution for his past. You know, sometimes we think that because I'm a Christian now, that means that I'm off the hook. Not necessarily. How many know that if you owe debt, that you need to pay back your debts? Amen? You need to make restitution. Have you hurt people in your life? Make every effort to reconcile, at least to apologize for the hurts, to make it up to them if you can. And if you can no longer contact the person, then you can do it in the spirit by prayer, through prayer. And to start praying for them and blessing them in the spirit. So there's a thing called restitution. And Paul said that those who steal, let them steal no more, but let them give. Start practicing giving. Do the opposite. What did you used to do that God disapproved of? Do the opposite of it now. Do the opposite, and you'll have the blessing of the Lord. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42, here's another example of God's miraculous multiplication. Elisha feeds 100 men. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, who was Elisha, of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." So Elisha sees this man with a knapsack, amen, of first fruits, and he doesn't have nearly enough to feed the amount of people that need to be fed. But he said something here, "Give it to the people that they may eat." Now, if we're going by our reason, we're going to say, but that doesn't make sense. How can this amount feed this many people? But his servant said, "What? Shall I set this before 100 men?" But Elisha said again, "Give it to the people. Give it to the people." What is he saying? Give it to God. Give it to God. When you give to people, you see you're giving to him you don't see. "That they may eat, for thus says the Lord," here come the word, the promise, "that they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Now, the next one I want to look at here is the widow's oil in 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. Now, I have this little life lifter saying on my file cabinet. And it's right there, so I'm always seeing it. And I shared it with somebody. See what it says? It says, life is like the widow's oil. Or God's grace is like the widow's oil. If you keep pouring, it will not run out. Now, if you don't get anything else out of today, I want you to get this. If you keep pouring, you will not run out. If you stop pouring, you will dry up. You want to know why Christians dry up? It's because they quit pouring. People say, "Well, you can't keep pouring out and pouring out and taking in." Do you know that that's how you sustain yourself? That by your loving and giving and sharing, you're giving back to God what He's already given to you anyways. And then when you give back to God what He's given you, He can then bless it and break it and multiply it, and you will bear much fruit. When you find someone to pour into, you're actually ministering to the Lord. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you?" 2 Kings 4 and 1, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead.'" Now this man had been serving Elisha in his ministry. I want you to get this. "And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." That sounds like a desperate situation to me. So Elisha said to her, "Well, what shall I do for you?" And then he says, "Listen, tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." So what do you ask? He says, "What do you already have in your possession?" "Well, I got three nickels. Let me have it." Sometimes God's going to tell you to give whatever you got left, put it in the offering, or give it to somebody in need. Because He's going to test you to see if you will trust Him. Because He wants to break that, bless it, amen, and multiply it. And He wants to bless you more than you realize. Folks, I'm telling you that this is the way out of poverty, is to start trusting God with everything in your life. Because whatever you have been given, I want you to hear this, in your life, you did not give yourself. Oh, you say, well, I went out and I worked for that. Who gave you the ability to work? Well, I went out and I got an education. Who gave you the ability to get an education? Who gave you the ability to get out of your bed this morning? Do you see, everything that we have belongs to God. It's all His. And all He's saying is, hey, whatever you got, give it back to me. Now I can bless it because it's in my hands and I can kick the devil out. Has the devil been stealing from you? Is he robbing from you? Take it before God of justice and say, Lord, avenge me of the devil, of my adversaries in the spirit realm, not the people. They're just being used. Bless the people. But ask God to avenge you of your adversaries in the spirit. Has the devil been robbing from you? It seems like you get money and it goes into a bag with a hole. God wants His people to understand something, that the safest place to invest is in the kingdom, is in God. Amen. To do what He tells you to do with what you have. Sometimes it's painful to obey the Lord. I've done things at times where I'm kind of like, I had to like change my attitude about it. Because I'm thinking, I'm almost doing it grudgingly. But then I said, no, that's the wrong attitude. God won't bless that. So attitude adjustment, give it joyfully, give it freely. Amen. What God is doing is He wants you to be free from the control and the power and of the love of money. Hello. Who's our God? It ain't Uncle Sam. Amen.
Amen.
It ain't Hamilton or Lincoln or any of those other bills. Or George Washington. Our God is the God of heaven. The Lord says the silver and the gold is mine. It all belongs to me. So whatever we have, it's actually His. So we're stewards. And God's not always going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. He gives you freedom. Amen. But you got to be responsible with what you've been given. Do you want God's blessing? Then do what He tells you to do. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. God is a multiplier. So the widow's oil here, listen. In Proverbs 11:24, it says this. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. He who waters will also be watered himself. Then he said in verse 3, I want you to hear this. Elisha told her what? Go and borrow empty vessels. Go and borrow empty vessels. And not a few. In other words, get as many as you can possibly gather. Oh, I want you to hear this. How many know that an empty vessel is a vessel that first of all is available and it's open? Available and open. Have you found anybody that's available and open for you to pour into? I'm willing to bet that if you look around this room today, that there's some available and open vessels in here today. I'm one of them. I'm an open vessel. Lord, fill me up. I'll take it. And you know what? He wants you and me to pour the oil, pour the giftings, pour the blessings of God into one another, into the empty and available vessels that he's bringing. And he's saying to the church, go out and find the empty vessels. They're out there, and bring them, amen, into the house so that they may receive the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Empty vessels are not already filled with something else. We talked about filler food. If you're filled up with the wrong stuff, you're not going to be hungry for the right stuff. Amen? But an open and available vessel is in a place where it realizes, like Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are in a place where they are depending on God, where they are trusting God, where God is their sufficiency, where God is their provider, God is the restorer, God is their healer. We're in that place, folks, where God is testing to see if we will trust him. Because you don't want to know why he wants to do that? Because he wants to multiply you. He wants to bless you. God is a lover. God, and therefore God is a giver. God gave his only begotten son for us because he loved us. He poured out himself on the cross out of love for us. And then as we receive mercy, we can show mercy. As we receive the blessing, then we become a blessing. And as we continue to bless, we will continue to be blessed. And as you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. What? Running over. We want to be running over Christians. Amen. We got too many stagnant Christians already. We need to be running over Christians. How are you going to run over? By start investing and giving. Did you receive a word today? Find an empty vessel. Find someone that's open and available to receive and pour into them. And as you give what you receive, you won't lose it. You'll find it. Cast your bread upon the waters. Amen. For after many days you shall find it. It'll return. Keep on sowing. Keep on giving. Keep on loving. Keep on serving. Keep on blessing. And it will come back. That's how God does it. And then he said, and when you have come in verse 4, you shall shut the door behind you. What is he saying? Shut the door to unbelief. Shut yourself in with God. Trust only God. Don't listen to any other voice. If God says to do something, you're going to get another voice that's going to say, ah, you better not. You probably won't be able to make it. You probably won't, you know, God won't come through. What if God doesn't come through? If God told you, he will come through, I guarantee it. God will not fail you. If you get a word from God, do it. Because God will back up his word every time. I'm saying again, God will back up his word every time. Amen. His promises are yea and amen in the Lord. They're good. And then he says, when you have shut the door behind you and your sons, with your sons, then do what? Pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, verse 5, shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She obeyed the word of the Lord. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. Now, I want you to see this, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Hear it, hear it. When there's no longer a vessel, the oil will cease. How many know that there's always more vessels? There are always more vessels. If you ask the Lord to direct you, he will direct you to where the vessels are. Because God wants to pour not only into us, but out of us, into the lives of others. And as we're pouring into others, we will not go dry. We will not get empty. Jesus said it this way, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to complete the work that He gave me to do. What He's saying is, I have food that you don't know of. Amen? And He says, and when I do my Father's will as He shows it to me, as I obey my Father, as I give of myself, as I bless others, then I receive my meat. I'm refreshed. You know that, right? We are to be flowing rivers. Rivers move. Amen? We are not a stagnant pond church where we come and we do this church thing. We are actually in the move of God. We flow in the anointing, amen, of God. We move with the Spirit of God. We're in a movement. And as long as we're moving with God and we're sowing in the Holy Spirit, we will be refreshed. And we will be multiplied and you will bear fruit, much fruit, that your Father might be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many got something today? Did you receive? Okay. Now, what do you need to do to save it, to keep it? Give it away. All right. You know, folks, you don't have to look that hard to find empty vessels. We are surrounded with empty vessels. Now, some of these vessels are filled with all kinds of other stuff. So they're not understanding their need of God. But God brings people and He prepares the soil of people's hearts. He brings them to a place so that they become desperate and they become aware of their emptiness and their need of something that truly satisfies. And that's what God wants you and I to do, is to be that vessel that will go and pour into their lives. You receive something today, find someone to give it to, and you'll discover that you'll be refreshed. You'll receive the blessing for that. How many have discovered that already? Yeah. Amen? When you give away what you receive, you don't lose it. All right. Hallelujah.